or men? So let's take a vote. So if you say women, raise your hand. Okay, if you say men, raise your hand. Oh, wow. Okay, fine. How about meanness? Like, if someone wants to be really mean in general, is it more women or men? If you say if you say women are more mean, raise your hand. Wow. If you say men are more mean, raise your hand. Wow. You guys want to know my opinion? I plead the fifth. I'm not crazy. I would never answer those questions. I can't believe I got you guys to answer them. I'm not crazy. No, it's really the honest truth is whoever is not filled by the Spirit of God is all of those things. But anyone, man or woman, filled by the Spirit of God, they're amazing and they're awesome. Okay, so I'll tell you, you guys will know why I asked those questions. It says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. The word gentleness here, it's really an amazing word. It's really hard to translate, and if you read it, they give you a lot of other words into it to try to give you the depth of the meaning of that word. Now, just a question. Did we run into this word, like, maybe a couple of days ago or so? Yeah? Like what? When? What is it about? Galatians, what? 5, and then someone said something of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit. Okay, do you guys remember which one it is? How many fruit of the Spirit is there? 9, and which one number is that one? No. 8. You guys are not even close. So it's number 8. So there's 9 of them. If you want to actually break down the fruit of the Spirit, it's really, you break it down into 3 threes, right? So the first 3 talk about the attributes of God. The second 3 have to do with between us as believers. The last 3 is actually internal, between me and God, me and myself. That have to do with like self-discipline. That's why like self-control is the last one. So if you look at in verse, Galatians 5 and verse 23, gentleness, self-control, against such there is no law. So the word gentleness here comes again. And there also there's an explanation. It means meekness or humility. That's one of the meanings. Another meaning that if we go back to our verse in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5, it says, let your gentleness be known to all men. And that also means gracious or forbearance, the word there. And basically, here's what it means. It means someone with authority, someone with power, someone with a place of leadership, but they lead in the right way, not by pushing their weight around, not by pushing people around, but it's the way that they come and they use humility to lead, yet they are serving. It's really an amazing thing. And only the fruit of the Spirit can come out of this for someone to be able to take that position. It is not weakness. It's actually strength when someone is able to do that. Now, imagine this. One last scenario. Imagine you have been given authority, okay? But that authority has not been given to you by man. You've been given this authority by God himself, okay? And you know for sure, it's not like maybe he gave me. No, he gave you this authority, whether to lead a group of people, whether to be a pastor of a church, or let's say you're married and you're the husband and God put on your responsibility to lead the household. And let's say someone that's really close to you in that someone you're supposed to lead or be part of leading them in this group or in this country or whatever, comes and they just say, we don't believe in your authority. Or they put you down or say really mean things to you, and you are known to be leading by God. Actually, let me put a different scenario. Let's say you are in charge of a nation. 2 million people are under you. You've got a government, you've got everything, and you are leading, and someone comes that's really close to you and puts you down and does that. What do? Kill them? You can, right? I mean, you have the power. You're the final authority. What else? Fire them? You fire them? Okay. Huh? Because they think it's not fair. They should be the better one. They're better than you. They should be the one leading. Huh? Exile them, execute them. What else? Huh? Put them in prison. Okay. Those are all, they sound very reasonable to me. Well, that's what the Lord has put on my heart to talk about today. Do you guys know in the Word of God, last question, did the Word of God say is the most humble person on the face of the earth? Wow, Moses, you're right. Okay, well then I have to put a second part because I'm trying to sound smart here. I'm just not going to win. When did he say it? Now, if you guys know this one, I'll owe you Starbucks. Huh? Hebrews 11. That's a good one, though. That's faith. I hope no one gets it. And I'll put a timer so this way I can get out of it. Get out of the Starbucks. Okay, so I said, who did the Bible mention is the most humble person on the face of the earth? And the answer was Moses, which is correct. But when was that mentioned? That is the key. In the Old Testament, in the Bible, get out of here. No. Blah, blah, blah. I need the incident. I need the, you can quote the Bible, but without cheating, without looking, I want you off the top of your head, give me an answer. I'm not going to have to buy Starbucks. No. But good one, though. Getting close. Susie's cheating. I see you on your searching on your phone. Okay. Huh? You're right. Ay, ay, ay. That's not Starbucks, though, right? Because it came to... It is? All right, fine. I owe you Starbucks. Oh, man. Okay, so let's get into the verse. Philippians... Wow, that's pretty good. Philippians 4... You guys are awesome. Very, very good Bible people. You love the word. Philippians 4, 5, it says, "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." What does that mean? It says, let your gentleness what? Be made known to how many people? All men. How do I do that? Do I Facebook and say, guys, I am gentle? Anyone I pass around at work, hello, I am gentle. Hello, gentleness. Or put a sign on me, gentleness. Is that how do I do it? How does that happen? Your actions, exactly. And so that's what the Bible is telling us. It says, let your gentleness be known to all men. Gentleness means humility. Gentleness meaning no matter what authority I may have in my life, I better not abuse it, and it better be known before all men. So does that mean, is there ever a chance for me to push my weight around? No, because then it's made known to some men, not all men, right? Let your gentleness be made known to all men. Well, what can motivate me to do that? What can help me? Because that's hard. It's hard. It's asking me to be humble. It's asking me to be gracious. It's asking me to give up some of my rights that I know I have, some of the authority that God may have given me, and to be able to lead right. Let your gentleness be made known to all men. You want to know what can motivate you and motivate me? It's to point our eyes at the right way. What is that? It says, the Lord is at hand. Meaning his coming is right here. If you realize that Jesus is coming, that the end of times is near, that's going to motivate you and motivate me to say, Lord, I want to live a life that pleases you, a life that honors you, a life that just makes you smile, because it's not worth it. If I answer back, talk back to the person who may be hurting me, it's not worth it because you are at hand, Lord. It doesn't make sense for me to please my flesh, to please myself as I talk back when, Lord, you... When I wouldn't please you and you are at hand. Man, if we can live this verse, it would be amazing. I'll tell you guys something funny I did with my wife last week. I like to mess with her a lot and it gets me in a lot of trouble. You guys better not turn me in, by the way. Should I share or not? So anyways, so share? You won't share, right? You won't go on Facebook after this and I know she's friends with, huh? Online? She's not watching. Maybe she is. So I got, I like to mess with her. She's a lot of fun. So I finished one cologne I had. It was called Romance. So when I had gotten that one initially, I would spray it in the air and say, honey, there's romance in the air. She'd laugh at me. She'd say, what's wrong with you? Well, this time I said, I have two colognes. I want to know which one to open. Which one do you think? And so she's like, I don't know. I have congestion. I can't smell right now. This was last week. And I said, just give me a suggestion. And so she's like, well, choose this one. And I said, that's perfect, you know. And so she's like, why? Why do you like this one? Because it smells good. I was like, no, I didn't even open it. I don't even know what it smells like. I said, because of what it says on it. It tells you who I am in this household, you know. And I looked, and until this day, she doesn't know that I know the real pronunciation of it. It's Hugo Boss, but I said, it's Hugo Boss. You know, I'm the Hugo Boss in this house. And so, but I made sure I stood 10 feet away and said it, and then, so, you guys want to know what her response was? I can't believe it. My wife is a gentle woman. She doesn't do that kind of stuff. No, she laughed. I was floored. I was like, what? She laughed at what I said. I kept spraying. I was like, Hugo Boss, you know, this isn't working. She laughed at me. She's like, you're a doctor. You're such a nerd. You don't even know how to read. And I said, it says H-U-G. G is a J sound. Hugo Boss. Anyways, all right. Let your gentleness be known. That's not gentleness, what I was doing. You know, I shouldn't be pushing my weight around. Plus, I know my place. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. God is coming. And really, that story in Numbers chapter 12, it's amazing. It really teaches us, you know, if we want to go to someone, we should go to the person who is, that the Bible says is the most humble person on the face of the earth. Numbers chapter 12, verse 1. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Here, just to give you guys a little bit of history, you guys know who Miriam and Aaron are? Brother and sister. Who's the youngest in the pack out of the three? Moses, you're right. And so Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. I'm sure you guys all know the story. Basically, they spoke against him. They're like, who do you think you are? And they criticized him about his marriage and the wife that he chose. And then the Lord was angry. And then Miriam ended up having leprosy. And then Moses ended up praying for her. A lot of people believe that the instigator, the one who started this whole problem, the one who started this whole issue was Miriam. And the reason they say that is, one is because Miriam is the one that received the discipline. And a second reason is it mentions her name first in the first verse. It says, then Miriam and Aaron. And then the third one, this one we wouldn't be able to understand reading English, but if you read Arabic or if you can read Hebrew, it uses the feminine form of then Miriam. It uses not the male form, because normally you would write in the writing, you wouldn't say if it's them, and it uses the feminine in a singular form, not in a plural form, that the Miriam spoke and then Aaron was there and she kind of convinced Aaron to go with her, and they basically went and ganged up against their brother, Moses. So then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. What did they speak about? What looks in the image, it's about his wife, the woman that he chose to be his wife, because of the Ethiopian, or from Cush, and they criticize him because of her, woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. What happened is, basically, many of the Bible students believe that because his first wife was Zipporah, and they believed that she had died, and then he went and he remarried, and he remarried this woman who's Ethiopian or from Cush. And now, is that wrong of him to do that? Yes or no? No, right? Because if you read 1 Corinthians 7, if someone's wife died, then that gives them, they can remarry. That's not a problem, right? And then, now, is it wrong for him to marry an Ethiopian? He's a Jewish man. Huh? That's what I'm asking you guys. You're asking me back. That's not fair. Well, your guys' confusion is perfect, because the answer is, at this specific time, the law hadn't been, all the details of it had not been given yet. So for Moses to marry this Ethiopian woman, There's nothing wrong with that, or this the woman from Cush. And now, after the fact, when in the Israel nation, in the Old Testament, a Jewish is not supposed to marry a non-Jew. And there's actually specific criteria that was given to them. But at this specific time, there was nothing wrong. Moses did nothing wrong. His wife, as many people believe, his first wife had died. And so he remarried. And he remarried a woman that's an Ethiopian or a Cushite that he remarried from there. Now, today in our, and I want to touch on this for a second just because I hear some weird stuff. Is it wrong today for people to have interracial marriage? Interracial, I didn't say religion. So I'm assuming we meet all the other right criteria, right? So believer, equally yoked, and all that stuff. Wrong or wrong? Wrong or right? There's nothing wrong with it, right? Okay, good. Because that's important. I hear stuff that's weird, man. Okay, yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. One time, a very good friend of mine, who I know is a really good believer, and he actually came and served here. We grew up together in Sudan. And so this guy, Sudanese, he married an Asian girl, an Asian lady. And someone was like, can you believe it? He married an Asian lady. I was like, what's wrong with that? I was like, what's wrong with? They're like, but it's different cultures or different races. I said, the guy's a believer. He's not going to choose anyone. He's going to choose someone from God. And I was really upset by that statement that someone told me. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. It looks like everything about them, their beef with Moses is this woman that he chose. But Moses is not going to choose any woman. And they're probably upset because she looks different than them. She's darker colored. She was black, Ethiopian or Kush, that's in Africa, and their skin color is dark. And so they're like, well, they look different than us. And if you guys, Jewish people, are more lighter. And so they're like, no, that looks different. That doesn't look right. That's this, that's that. And that's what they're criticizing him about, his decision about whom he marries, that we are sure, or I am sure, that Moses is not going to choose anyone. He's going to choose someone for him by God. So they said, has the Lord indeed, now this comes out, the real truth from within their hearts, the real reason why they were upset with Moses, it had nothing to do with his wife. And a lot of times people that don't like leadership, they kind of go and make up stuff. They don't talk about the real core issue. But here they bring it up. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Hello? Are you the only one that God speaks through? Do you think you're the only one that knows how to go up there and talk? Do you think you're the only one that actually speaks to God and God speaks to you? Has he not spoken through us also? Don't you know who we are? Do you guys know who Miriam is? Let me tell you a little bit about her. Miriam could go to Moses and say, excuse me, buddy, do you want to know who saved your life? Do you know who saved your life? It's me. We put you in the little river. Pharaoh's daughter came, and if it wasn't for me, I went and I got you back to our mom so that she can feed you and she can have you grow until she weans you, and then you go back into Pharaoh's house. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be alive. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be here today. But you want to know more about Miriam? You know what she's? You know what kind of position she has? What's her title? Official title. Leads worship, but I want a specific title. Or else I'm going to take back my Starbucks. Huh? Huh? Prophetess. Very good. Now, prophetess. How many? No, that, I didn't say I'm going to give Starbucks for this. I'm going to go broke. Prophetess. Do you guys know how many women prophetess are mentioned in the Word of God? Okay, I'll give you a Starbucks for that one. Forget it. You guys lose. 10 women prophetess in the Word of God. Do you want to know how many of them are in the Old Testament?
5.
Wow, that's very good. 5. You're right. 5 are in the Old Testament. 5 in the New Testament. If you guys want a Starbucks, I'll have you name them, but you won't be able to do it. So I won't do it. But Miriam, good one. How did you get that one? You're good. So yeah, there's 10 of them. And do you know who's the first one of them? First prophet, yes, you're right. First prophetess in the Word of God. I'm not going to be able to speak good today. The first woman, the first prophetess in the world is Miriam. Moses, do you know who I am? I saved your life. Moses, do you know who I am? I'm a prophetess. Do you want to know what a prophetess is? That's someone who hears from God and tells the people. You think you're the only one that God can speak through you? God can speak through me, man. Now let's go to Aaron. You guys know Aaron's title? Huh? No, not a prophet. Huh? Huh? Chief priest. High priest, chief priest. Do you want to know who is the first chief priest or high priest ever? Aaron. Who do you think you are? I am the high priest. I am the chief priest. I am the intercessor for all the people of God. Do you think God speaks only through you? Do you think you're the only one that has received revelation from God? Who do you think you are? These are some really hurtful words. Imagine you are Moses. You're there, and the people attacking you are your own household. You know, Jesus Christ, in Matthew 10, he says, a person's enemies are their own household. In Micah 7, 6, it says, a person's enemies are their own household. Sometimes the people that hurt us the most are our family, are the people that are dear to us, the people that are close to us. And so here, these people came to him, and they said to him, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? You know, Aaron was only 3 years older than Moses. You read this in Exodus when they went to Pharaoh. It says Moses was 80 and Aaron was 83 at that time. He's only 3 years older than him. And he was his spokesperson in front of Pharaoh. He was the one that when Moses says, Lord, I can't speak, he says, don't worry, I'll send you Aaron. He was his voice that spoke to him and through him. What do you mean?
Was there a decree sent by
Oh, it happened after, because there's 3 years difference. It happened after. It was only just a short period of time. They were trying to get rid of the Israelites for a while, but it happened after that, yes. Very good. So he came and he said, who do you think, they're basically saying, who do you think you are? Who? His older brother and his older sister. And you know these people, who they are? They are people who serve with him in the same place. They serve the same group of people. They serve the same nation. I'll prove that to you. Why don't we open up Micah 4:6? That's right after Jonah. It's a very small book. I mean 6:4. Micah 6:4. I'll read it to you if you guys are. Micah 6, 4. For I brought you from the land of Egypt. I redeemed you from the house of bondage. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. So here God himself is saying that he sent these three people. He sent them. But the order he sent them is Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. So they came and they spoke against him. But you want to know the amazing thing? Is the next part. It says, and the Lord heard it. The Lord heard it. And then there's this little pause and a little parenthesis that speaks to us. And this is when it tells us that Moses was the most humble person on the face of the earth. The Lord heard. And it's as if the Lord just wanted to pause for a second. He wanted to see, Moses, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You know that this authority that's been given to you has been given to you by me. You know that the place that you are in right now is no other person that has appointed you but me. Now you are being challenged by your older brother and your older sister, and they are attacking you. They're saying some very hurtful stuff. They are doubting your decision that you made about your marriage. They are doubting that I am the one that spoke to you and speaks through you, and they think that they are better than you and they can do a better job than you can. What are you going to do, Moses? Now, the man, Moses, was very humble, was very gentle. More, how gentle, how humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. You know what his answer was? Nothing. He answered nothing. Wow. That definitely wasn't one of our responses of what would we do when someone does this. Man, I know God chose me. I need to defend this place. I need to show. I need to flex some muscles. I need to get them. I need to fight for myself. Man, it's my pride on the line. Man, it's this. And we give it different names. But he was the most humble. He stayed quiet in that same house. It's not like they were talking behind his back and he's not there. He was there in the same place as they are speaking against him. And he's taking it and doing nothing about it. Not fighting back. Not attacking. Not even blurting a word. And I don't even think that if we were to be there and look at his face, I don't think we would see a frown. I don't think we would see a sad face. I think we would see him smiling with love toward his brother and his sister. But see, he trusts in a God that hears. And the Lord heard it. In verse 2 it says, and the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. God says, so that's your reaction, Moses? And Moses is like, well, what else can I do, Lord? Because you taught us. You want us to be gentle. Let your gentleness be made known in front of all men. The only way for my gentleness to be known is to be in action, is to be ridiculed, is to be put down, is to be hurt by people who love me. Yet I stand and I sit there with gentleness and with humility. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Suddenly, God couldn't wait. God said he came, and he came suddenly. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Wow, it's so different than the first verse, right? Look at the order. Verse 4, it says, suddenly the Lord said to who? Moses first, Aaron second, Miriam third. If you look at the first verse, it says, then Miriam first and Aaron second spoke against Moses third. The Lord says, guys, you've got it all wrong. You got to go back to Micah. You got to go back to my promise in Micah 6:4 that I said, I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, not Miriam, Aaron, and Moses. And so the Lord said, and he's came and he approached all three, and you don't know what's going to happen here. We have no idea what's going. He says, spoke to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Come out, you three, get out of here. This stuff they said in behind closed doors. No one knows about this conversation except Miriam, Aaron, and Moses. That's another thing that we should pause on. What would happen to you if this same thing happened? And let's say you're one of those very gentle people. Maybe we wouldn't answer back. But oh, when we go outside, the stories that would come out. Ooh, have you seen what she's... Mm-mm. Girl, she's... she was dissing me. You know, or whatever else people say, man. It's like, hey, we add a lot of salt and pepper and all this. She approached me. She was vicious. But I, being so humble and godly. You know, we'd make ourselves look so good and we'd say a lot of stuff that maybe didn't even happen about the other person. But it happened behind closed doors, and it stayed behind closed doors. But the Lord heard it. Guys, the Lord hears what happens behind closed doors. The Lord hears. Just be humble before him. Cry out to him. Come before him and watch what he does. See, a lot of times we bring it out to the public and it's all over the place, gossip everywhere. Can you believe what he did to me? Can you believe the audacity she has? And we talk and talk and talk, and man, something goes from something so small to it spread out all over the world. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting! God is speaking quick. He's speaking fast. He says, I need to take some action. And I need you three to be there in this action. And I want to take you to the place of judgment. I want to take you to my house. I want to take you to the place where I call you. I want to take you to the place where my word is said. Come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. So the three came out. They're like, oh, maybe the Lord's going to do something now. Then the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle. So they went into the tabernacle. The Lord himself came in the pillar, and then as if he's a person standing there, where? In the door of the tabernacle. He's just standing there at that door. Can you imagine the picture here? God, as if he's just a human being present right there, standing at the door of the tabernacle, and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both went forward. So all three of them heard God saying, get over here, you three. And he said he restored the order that he wants, Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. And as they went into the tabernacle, God comes present as a pillar, as a person standing at the door. And then he calls those two. He says, Aaron, Miriam, get over here. So they step forward. They come toward him. And they both went forward. Then he, that's God, said, hear now my words. I have something to talk to you two about. And here Moses is present, but he's in the background. He's not the one being addressed by God at this time. If there is a prophet among you. Now, a question. Who is the prophet in those two? None of them? No, there is. Miriam, right? Miriam is the prophet, right? She's a prophetess. And so he says, if there is, and I believe that he's talking to both of them, but he's really hitting on Miriam because she's the one that probably started this whole family rebellion that happened. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. There's two ways I speak to this prophet. There's two ways I speak to you, Miriam. Visions and dreams. But I want you to know something. Not so with my servant Moses. Moses is different. He's a whole new level. He's not no prophet. He's not a prophetess. He is not a priest. He's not a high or chief priest. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. This guy is different. He's faithful not in my house, but in all my house. Meaning any order I give him, he does it to the fullest, to the last T, to the drop, to the everything is just perfect. What I ask of him is what he does. He's not someone that I speak with visions and dreams to. He is humble. He is one who is faithful in all my house. Man, are you faithful in all his house? Am I faithful in all his house? It's really special because that's what sets the difference. Someone very godly asked me once, we're talking, and they said, hey, does God have favorites? You know, does God kind of reveal some stuff to some people but not to others? And I was like, yeah, for sure, it's right here. Now, not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face. It's different. The way I communicate with Moses is not the same way I communicate with my prophets. The way I communicate with Moses is not through visions and dreams. The way I speak with Moses is I go to him and I go speak face to face. I want to speak face to face with everyone, but I can't. Because that's a whole different level where someone, I can let him in on my secrets. I can let him in and come to hear my heartbeat, to hear all my whisperings that I want to share with them. That person needs to be faithful in all my house, not part of it. Not only when they're in church, not only on Sunday or Friday or whenever they attend a church meeting. I want them to be faithful at work, at school, at home, when they're alone, when they're in their room on the internet, when they're watching whatever. That they are faithful in all my house and I will tell them my secrets. I'm going to speak to them in a very, very apparent, clear way where there's none of this visions and dreams. Man, many times all we want is visions and dreams. God says, I want to be intimate with you. I want to speak to you face to face. But the problem is, We don't want to be faithful in everything. We say, Lord, no, I need a little bit of world. I need a little bit of flesh. I need to live a little. It's not living. That's not living what we think is live a little. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face. Not just that. Even plainly. And plainly here meaning no go between. It's just me and him, man. We see me and Moses, we got a thing going on. Me and Moses is like the Song of Songs. You see, I just love to hear him. He makes me melt. Moses is amazing. Even plainly, and not in dark sayings, meaning not in riddles. You guys know what's the equivalent of this in the New Testament? They came to Jesus and they said, Lord, why do you speak to people in parables all the time? He said, see, to you. He looked at his disciples. He says, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. They come and they are not faithful in all my house. But you guys, when you're faithful in all my house, I just want to let it all out. I don't want to keep anything back. I want to talk to you face to face. I want to speak to you with a clear face, clear appearing before you. I want no go in between. I want you to come to me and I want to come to you and I want to sit with you. I want to not speak in riddles. I want to tell you what's on my heart. And I want to just open up my heart to you and tell you like it is. Man, do you want that? I want that. Well, then let's come before him and say, Lord, I want to be faithful in all your house. Anything that's yours, Lord, I want to be faithful, which means everything in our lives. I speak with him face to face, even plainly and not in dark sayings or in riddles. And he says not just that, and he sees the form of the Lord. He sees me. And here it says the form of the Lord because, you know, you can't see God and live as maybe if we have time, we'll go to Exodus and talk about 33 for a few verses there. When Moses wanted to see God's glory. He says, you see, he sees the form of the Lord. Meaning, I come to him in a special way, maybe different ways, different times, but he sees me. He comes out, he knows that he has been sitting with a person. A person who's revealing his heart to him, who is telling him his secrets, who's opening up to him. He sees the form of the Lord. And then he says, why then were you not afraid? You should be afraid of what you've done. To speak against my servant, Moses. Oh, wow. Lord, help us be quiet when people do us wrong. Lord, help us not fight back. Lord, if we're called names, let us not call those names right back. If someone hurts us really bad, no matter how close or not close they are, Lord, let us come humbly and just stay quiet, Lord, realizing that the Lord heard it, and that's it. And be quiet and see what you do, Lord. So the anger of the Lord was aroused against him, and he departed. God was really angry. And he took off. You know, imagine it like this, right? So God comes in, calls those three people in, and they come in, and then he's like, wait, you two, come over here. He speaks to them. He speaks his heart out, and in it, it's like amazing. If I was Moses, wow, Lord, you're talking all this about me? Wow, that's amazing. And then God just takes off and just shuts the door in their face, right? That's what it looks like. So the anger of the Lord was aroused against him, and he departed. He took off. He left the place. And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, so here he came in the pillar of the cloud. Now, he left, so the cloud departed above the... Suddenly, Miriam became leprous as white as snow. So, she had leprosy everywhere. Leprosy is the Old Testament, basically, symbolic-wise for sin. And she became leprous everywhere. And everyone looks at a leper. They look at them. That's a person who's unclean. You can't have communication with this person. You can't have communion with this person. You can't have a relationship with this person. She became leprous as white as snow. Then Aaron turned toward Miriam. And here Aaron is who? The high priest, the chief priest. He looks at his sister. And there she was a leper. And if anyone knows how to diagnose leprosy, it's the priest, especially the high priest, because they have to analyze it on when they let a person back in or when they kick him out for good. So Aaron said to Moses, this is the weirdest thing. Here, the high priest who intercedes on people's behalf in front of God, who did he go to? He didn't go to God. He can't intercede at this time. He even needs an intercessor. So Aaron said to Moses, "Oh my Lord," with an exclamation mark. He says, "My Lord, Master," to his own little brother. He says, "Oh my," because why? Because he heard what the Lord thinks of Moses. He realized what sin they have done. "Oh my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us." Here he's coming and he's saying, "Yeah, I'm the high priest, but I'm a sinner." He's confessing. He didn't say her sin. He said our sin. Me and Miriam, we've sinned by coming against you. We feel ashamed of ourselves to have done this thing, and God has corrected us. Please do not lay this sin on us. So here he comes to him. He's begging him, right? "Oh my Lord," that's a pretty strong thing to say to someone. The second thing is, "Please," that's begging. "Please do not lay this sin on us in which we have done foolishly." We're totally wrong. There's not even like that's it. We're wrong. We just messed up. "Foolishly, and in which we have sinned." We confess it. We say it as it is. "Please," again, comes with the word "please" to his brother. "Do not let her be as one dead, whose flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb." He says, "You know what your sister's looking like right now? She looks like a stillborn that's coming out, you know, baby that's not alive and is born, and that's it. Half their body is eaten up." He says, "Look at her. Look at her skin. Look at her. Look at this sin that we've done against you. Please forgive us. Please, please," he said twice. And before that, he said, "Oh, my Lord." Man, honestly, imagine this, right? This happened to you. You are Moses, right? Your sister, your brother, whom you love and they're dear to you, they speak bad about you. You are godly. You don't speak back because you know the Lord hears and the Lord fights for you. So here you come and the Lord fights for you. And you got your sister standing over there, can't speak from the leprosy that she's full of. And your brother pleading on her behalf and asking you for forgiveness for both of them. What would you do? I don't know. Would it feel good? No? I don't know. I would feel like, "Wow, Lord, I think I didn't know I was a prophet, man." And it's like, they deserve more. Maybe hit him with a little leprosy. Let him suffer a little so they don't do this again ever. Yeah, that's what I would do. That's why I'm not Moses. I'd be like, "Lord," and I could give it, you know, some biblical verses. "The Lord fights and you stay quiet." Oh, yes. "Lord, thank you for your kindness and your gentleness and fighting for me." That's what I would do. You guys wouldn't because you're more godly. But oh, what does Moses do? What did he do? Did he pray for her? He did better than that. He cried for her. It's so much stronger, man. Wow, I don't know if I would cry. I'd be like, "Lord, okay, help her out. Take her out of this." But that's not what he did. No wonder he is the most humble, more humble than any man on the face of the earth. So Moses cried out to the Lord. He went before the Lord and he cried. He got on his knees and he cried to the Lord. He didn't say, "Lord, I pray with you, pray to you." He didn't say, he says, "Lord, I am desperate. I am pleading for you. I'm pleading with you. I just come desperately before you." For who? His family member that hurt him. So Moses cried out to the Lord saying, "Please," and here he's begging him, "Please heal her, O God, I pray." Amazing, man. I read this and I melt. I melt and I say, "Lord, I want to be godly. I want to be one of those people that let your gentleness be made known to all men. The Lord is at hand." He didn't, you know what I would have said if I would have prayed and even was trying to be right? I would have said, please forgive her. Oh God, I pray. Because what did she do? She sinned against him. Did he say she sinned here? What did he say? Please what? Please what? Heal her. It doesn't make any sense. Sure, it's an illness, but it's an illness of sin. You should say, please forgive her. You see, he's totally different than us. He doesn't think he's on this high horse and he's better than everyone else. You know, there's a message, I'll give you the keys to it, that I learned from a guy named Magdi Samuel, and he's with the Lord now, and this guy is dear to my heart. I learned so much from him. And it's in Exodus, and it's entitled, you can listen to it online if you want. It says, why do people not believe us? When we go tell people about Jesus Christ, why are we not effective? Why do people laugh? Why do people not believe us? Why do we get nowhere with people? And there's three miracles that God needs to do in our lives. And if he does those three miracles, people will change around us. People will see this. I'll go over them real quickly, and it's symbolic, so I'll give you the key to them. In Exodus chapter 4, then Moses answered and said, so here he's speaking to God. He says, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. And that's a fear that we have a lot of times. What if I share with people and suppose they don't believe me? Suppose they won't listen to me. And he says, well, if these three miracles happen in your life, they will believe you. They will listen to you. But these three miracles, and they are miracles, and they have to happen in your life so that you'd be effective with people around you. And so he starts talking. So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? He said, a rod. He says, the first miracle, look at that rod in your hand. He said, okay. And he said, the Lord told Moses, cast it on the ground. Throw that rod. Now this, we spoke about it for an hour, so you may want to listen to it another time. I'm going to speak about it for 3 minutes. He cast it on the ground. So he took that rod. The rod represents the authority of God, okay? That's the symbol. He says, take that rod and cast it on the ground. Cast it on the ground, and it became what? A serpent. And the serpent represents what? Satan. Cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. What is he saying here? He says, well, let's go to the rest of it. Then the Lord said to Moses, so here, can you imagine this, right? So he's holding a rod. He says, throw this rod. He throws the rod. He's like, it's a snake. You start splitting the other way, running away. God says, what are you doing? Get over here, man. What are you running from? Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And God is gentle, because if he told me to take it by the head, I'm like, I don't come near snakes, period. Now you tell me to go by the head? Uh-uh. And he says, go to the tail. Take it and hold it by the tail. And he reached out. I can't imagine he did this. I would not do that. I've never touched a snake in my life, and I would never touch one. I'm scared of snakes. And he reached out his hand. I would have been like this and caught it. And it became a rod in his hand again, right away. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. What is this talking to us about? It says, if God's authority is what's in my hand, I have nothing to fear. But once I say, Lord, I don't want your presence in my life anymore. I don't want your authority anymore. And I throw it. You know who becomes in the picture? Satan. It's one or the two. People don't believe us because we don't walk according to the authority of God. What is that? Meaning according to the word of God, with a head high, trusting it, believing it, and say, it says so. It says so. Well, they say this. It doesn't make sense with the Bible. Your stuff is wrong. The Bible is right. It says so. I walk with the authority of the word of God. But if that's gone, Satan is in the picture. The other thing that this is speaking about is, if I run away from Satan like Moses did, how's anyone gonna believe me? If I'm afraid of Satan, I can't do that. But I need to come and I need to hold him by the tail. You know why he didn't say the head? Because the head is for Jesus Christ. It says that the son, that he, the seed that comes from the one will crush the head of the serpent. That has been done by Jesus Christ. Guys, we have a serpent that's playing around headless. We need his authority in our lives. If that miracle happens, if you let God's authority take over, people will see that and will believe you. and we'll believe what you have to say and we'll listen to what you have to say. The second miracle that needs to happen is in verse 6. Furthermore, the Lord said to him, now put your hand in your bosom. So bosom is like your chest, right? So he said, put your hand in your bosom. So he puts it like this, and he put it in his hand in his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. He's like, ah! He's like, what's wrong with my hand? It's leprosy. It's leprous like snow. No, 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 no. What's going on? What's going on? What's going on? And he said, put your hand in your bosom again. So he goes and puts it again. So he put his hand in his bosom again and drew it out of his bosom. And behold, it was restored like his other flesh. Then it will be, if they do not believe you, nor heed the message of the first sign, if they don't believe that, yeah, you're walking by the authority of God, that they may believe the message of the latter sign, the second sign. What's that second sign talking about? Well, it's if I realize, I put my hand near my bosom, you know what's over here? It's my heart. If I put my hand near my bosom, I take it out, I realize that that my heart is deceitful and my heart is very sinful. But then when the Lord comes and says, put it back again and let me wash you with my grace, I take it out, then it becomes whole again. What is this talking about? The second miracle that will make people believe us is to realize we are no better than anyone else. That we can fall into sin just like anyone else. It makes us approach people with humility, with gentleness, realizing that it's only by His grace that I am what I am, like Paul said, that it's His grace toward me was not in vain, and it's not me, but it's His grace toward me that makes me I am what I am. The third miracle, just so I don't leave you guys, in verse 9, it says, and it shall be, if they do not believe even these two signs or listen to your voice, that you shall take water from the river, which is the Nile River, which is in Egypt, So Egypt represents the world. So you take the water of this world and the river and pour it on the dry land. The water which you take from the river will become blood on the dry land. The third miracle that if this happens in your life, people will believe you, is that you come to the realization that this world has nothing for me. That this world is nothing but death. Anything I pour out, try to pick up from this world and I pour it, it's blood. It's deadly. I want nothing from this world, to live as a true stranger on this earth. People don't believe us because we love the world. Because we tell them we have something better, but yet we look just the same like everyone else. That's why people don't believe us. And so if we go back to our chapter in Numbers 12, see, that's why Moses didn't say, please forgive her. He said, please heal her. Because, Lord, I remember, she is leprous, white as snow. Lord, my hand was leprous, white as snow, right when I let it get near my heart. But, Lord, I want you near my heart. And, Lord, I realize that it's only by your grace that I am here in front of you. And that's why I don't look at my sister as a sinner, because I am no better person than her. I don't look at her that she has hurt me, but I come before you and I cry out for her, Lord. And I say, Lord, my sister, just please heal her. She's just got this disease, Lord. And you are an expert when it comes to disease, because you are the great physician. And so I come before you, please heal her, oh God, I pray. And he says this as he's crying. Lord, take away our pride. Take away this I and the feeling that I need to be respected, Lord. Lord, help me cry out for those people. Help me cry out for whoever may hurt us, Lord, no matter how close or how far they are. Then the Lord said to Moses, here, the Lord healed her already. But then he's like, I don't think so, man. I still got to do something here. But this is who? The Lord, not Moses. Then the Lord said to Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, would she not be shamed 7 days? If her dad came and he spat in her face, she should be ashamed of herself for at least 7 days. So this is one of those things, you know. Back in those days, if a person is not being good, the dad would be like, hey, you're not being good. I gotta teach this to my daughters. Just kidding. I would never do that. Plus, there's Child Protective Services here. I don't think they would take that one. He said she would be shamed for 7 days. Let her be shut out. Let her be exiled. This is God's judgment, not Moses. Let her be, because we saw Moses' heart toward her was a crying heart toward her. And it was a thing, Lord, she didn't sin. She's just sick. She just needs healing, Lord. And the Lord said, no. If her father had spit in her face, she would be shamed for 7 days. Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days. Because that's what happens. When a leper, when you test him, it's 7 days, then you can bring him back to the camp. He says, my law will still be fulfilled. I am still a righteous God, and I do not accept that sin that she has done. To me, it is sin. And afterward, she may be received again. So what happened? So Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days, and the people did not journey till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward, the people moved from Hazeroth and camped in the wilderness of Paran. Wow. It's amazing. The Lord said, if her father would have spat in her face 7 days of shame, he says, but it's not the father who spat in her face. And she didn't sin against you, Moses. She sinned against me and my calling of you. She's doubting and she's second guessing whom I choose and the authority that I have given. He says, 7 days is 7 days. But the thing is, it's shameful. Sin is shameful, guys. You know, for 7 days, she was out there. Miriam, the one chosen by God to help lead the people, the prophetess, the first prophetess, leading the people, she's out and everyone knows why. Because of her sin. Because she was a leper. See, with the more responsibility God gives and the more honor God gives, the more he asks of the people. You know, in 1 Timothy 5, Paul tells Timothy, he says, the sins that are very apparent, you go and rebuke it in front of everyone so that people would have fear before the Lord. And so he used her here as an example. But that's not it. You know, the second thing that happened here is she delayed the work of God for 7 days. She delayed the excel in people's lives because when we fall, we don't fall alone. Others fall with us. You guys remember Abraham? Abraham went to Egypt, but he took Lot with him. He came out of Egypt. His heart was out of Egypt, but Lot's heart was still in Egypt. That's why when he chose a land, he says he chose the land of Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like Egypt. That's what he said there. And so his heart was still there. Don't take sin lightly. Don't say, well, I'll just do this thing. It's kind of all right. If some people think it's wrong, be an example to everyone. Be an example to everyone. Don't be a stumbling block to anyone. Paul himself said, there's nothing wrong with eating meat. But if meat stumbles my brother, in 1 Corinthians 8, he says, I will not eat meat for the rest of my life. He says, that's how important it is to not want to stumble anyone. For 7 days, this happened. But you know what the sad thing that really breaks my heart? You know, after this chapter, what do we hear about Miriam in the Word of God? Nothing except one thing. Go to Numbers chapter 20, verse 1. Numbers 20, verse 1. Then the children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. Her ministry was no more because she didn't like what the Lord did. But it's more than that. You want to know something? You know what? You guys know what Deuteronomy is? Deuteronomy is Moses' last message that he's preaching. And God summing up everything that he wants them to know and he wants them to hear. Look at Deuteronomy, I believe, 24. Deuteronomy 24:9. Here he's saying, remember what the Lord your God did. This is one of the things that God wants them to make sure they remember. Remember what the Lord your God did to Miriam on the way when you came out of Egypt. The Lord wants you to remember that she broke his heart. The Lord wants you to remember that she hindered the whole congregation. The Lord wants you to remember that she did not go and hurt Moses. She hurt God first. and she hurt everyone else. Man, oh, how I pray, who are you tonight? Who am I at this time? Are we a Moses that if wrong is done to us, we stay quiet, realizing that the Lord has heard? And if any discipline happens to that person whom we love, we cry out before him and we try to downgrade, we try to intercede with God? Or are we a Miriam tonight? We go and we're not happy with where we're at. We complain about what I have in my life today. It's not enough. Why? It's not good enough, Lord. Why do I have this family? Why am I in this house? Why am I in this apartment? Why do I not have this much money? Why do I not have this? Why do I have that? Why do I have these parents? Couldn't you have given me better parents? Couldn't you have given me some godly parents that could lead me? Why this? Why this? Why this? And Miriam, who's complaining about the authority that God has put in her life, and she wasn't happy about it. And in the end, it ended up being an example. He said she died. And the Lord said, I want you to remember what happened to Miriam. Oh, how I pray that we take sin very seriously. That we don't mess around with it. That we don't go in the downgrade it in our lives, but that we would live and we say, Lord, I want to be pleasing to you. Lord, I want to get to a level where it says that you speak to me face to face. I want you to speak to me openly. I want you to not speak to me with riddles. I want you, when you want to reveal your heart to someone, that someone would be me, Lord. But I know there's a price. And that price is that I need to come and be faithful in all your house. I want to be faithful in everything that you put in my life. Lord, if you put me in a family, I want to be faithful there. If you put me at a job, I want to be faithful there. If you put me in a ministry, I want to be faithful there. Lord, I want to honor you in everything and watch him reveal his heart to you. Watch him open up to you and lead you. You know, it's on my heart to just one thing about, you know, people that God puts in our lives as leaders. I'll end with this verse in Hebrews 13. Obey those who rule over you or lead you. Obey them. And be submissive. Why? For they watch out for your souls. These people, they put a lot of effort and they care about your souls. They don't just come and talk and that's it and walk out. They really walk out and you're in their heart. They care about you. And they plead with the Lord about you as those who must give an account. They leave. There's some people that lead like that, man. They come and they say, Lord, I'm giving an account for these people. Lord, why is this person like this? Lord, I put them before you. Do whatever you need to do or whatever it is that, you know, they plead with God and they as if they're watching out for people's souls. And they said, as those who must give account, let them do so with joy. Don't be troublesome to them. Let them rejoice. Let them do so with joy and not with grief. Why? For that would be unprofitable for you. It's not good for you. Why? Because, go back to our chapter, the Lord heard it. The Lord heard it. Oh, that if the Lord puts you in someone in your life that really cares about you spiritually and really, you know, comes and labors for your soul and they come and they, as if they're giving an account, man, let them do it with joy. Let them honor God. And so that's what, unfortunately, what Miriam did not do, but Moses, he was one of those guys. Wow, Lord, please make our pastors and our leaders be people like that, that care about us, that love us, and that really plead for us, that cry out for us. And Lord, help us to stay away from that flesh and the things that, to be hurt by stuff. Don't be hurt, man. I promise you, no matter what anyone could ever do to you, no matter how hurtful or how mean or how it is, or how tough, it is nothing compared to what Jesus was approached by while he was here on this earth. Man, and he took it, and he did not blurt out a word. He came, and he was like a sheep led silently to the slaughter. Oh, how I pray that we come and say, Lord, I just thirst for you. I want to be in your presence. I want to see you face to face. Lord, I just want that relationship. And then things will fall into place. I'll be able to be one of those people that let your gentleness be made known to all men without exceptions. Because, Lord, you're coming. The Lord is at hand. Let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your challenges, Lord. Oh, Lord, how difficult it is to give up one's rights. How difficult it is to step on our pride. But, Lord, you desire that we do this, not talk about it, but show it to all men. Lord, help us realize that the time is near, Lord, that your coming is at hand. Lord, help us be excited to meet you, and help us desire that we would be faithful in your house, in all of it, Lord, so that you would reveal yourself to us, so that you would come before us face to face, that you'd open your heart to us, Lord, and that you would speak to us openly, and that you would be present with us, Lord, in our lives, and that you would come in your, as it says, you came to him in a form, but you can come to us plainly now as you came in the image of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to be humble. Lord, help us to cry out for people, no matter who they are, no matter what they do to us. Help us cry out for them. Lord, we thank you that you hear. And that's enough, Lord. Help us learn to be silent, to shut our mouths, Lord, when it troubles us so many times when we speak when we're not supposed to, Lord. Lord, we pray for fruit for this word, and that you'd help us, Lord, go into the depth with you. In Jesus' name we pray.